Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by Career Management Associates. I'm David Chulo. It's about all things in the human resource world. We're going to bring in local, regional, and national guests, and we're going to talk about a variety of topics and explain why human resource management is critical to your business success so that you can make decisions to keep and retain great talent. This week on the HR Power Hour, we have two great guests. First, Dr. Caitlin Morsrow from Absolute Health Chiropractic. We'll be talking about wellness today and an option you may not have thought of. And then we're going to be talking with Tom Kelly. He's the CEO of HealthSmart in Dallas, Texas, a self-insured benefits administrator. And he's going to be talking about innovation in the healthcare industry. And we're here live on the HR Power Hour, News Talk WLOB, presented by CMAcareer.com. Today we're talking with Dr. Caitlin Morsrow. Doctor, how are you today?
I'm great. How are you?
Do you mind if I call you Caitlin?
No, that's fine.
Okay, perfect. Caitlin, you are the owner and practicing doctor at Absolute Health Chiropractic. Is that correct?
It is, yep.
Perfect. So tell me a little bit about your background. Tell me a little bit about the organization and what you do.
Sure. So I opened Absolute Health Chiropractic in May of 2006 and ended up in Portland, Maine. I, through Wells and Chicago, et cetera, kind of found Maine to be just a place that I absolutely fell in love with. And I started over on Woodford Street down in Portland, had a little place there, and realized over the first 2 years or so that really I wanted my focus to be more on pediatrics and sports, and I ended up moving my practice in town into a health club, which was great. Our primary focus is really just taking anyone of any age from the time that someone's born until, I think our oldest patient right now is 92 years old, and just basically bottom line helping them reach their health and wellness goals.
Well, you have a slogan, treating the whole person, not just the pain. I think that certainly talks about the wellness issue that we're going to be talking today. Tell me about your education. Tell me, tell the audience a little bit about, your background in terms of your education.
Sure. So I did a undergraduate in general biology from the University of New Hampshire. From there, I actually moved back to Worcester for a couple of years and did some molecular biology research on breast cancer, which I loved working in the lab. However, it's kind of monotonous on a day-to-day basis, and decided that I wanted to head to chiropractic school. So I went to the National University of Health Sciences, which is located just outside of Chicago. And basically, chiropractic school is a 5-year program that's condensed to 3.5 years because we go through the summers. So during that time, I earned a second bachelor's in human biology, as well as a doctorate in chiropractic. And during my clinical rotation of chiropractic school, I completed a master's in clinical nutrition.
That's good. When did you get your doctorate?
In 04, August of 04.
August of 04. That's great. That's great. And so you've been in Maine most of your life?
I grew up in Massachusetts, but I was very familiar with the area, the Wells Beach area. I had skied at Sunday River growing up, familiar with the whole New England vibe, and definitely wanted to come back.
So why the passion for wellness itself?
Well, I think we're starting to see a lot of changes in healthcare, and with Obamacare coming more and more into light, I think people are starting to realize that they need to start taking a little bit more responsibility for their health and wellness, and we're starting to see a lot of the side effects from medications, and I think with the generation of baby boomers that we have coming up, a lot of those folks want to be more active. They want to live longer, and they don't want to be dependent on medications to do that.
We're talking with Dr. Caitlin Morsrow. She's from Absolute Health Chiropractic. So you're doing a lot of outreach in the community. Tell me a little bit about how you are explaining it to organizations, to individuals, so they get a feel for what you're actually doing in the community effort.
Sure. A lot of it really just comes down to education. I've been very blessed in my life, and I have a clinic that I love, and I get to go to work every day and help people and see them reach their goals. And so one of the ways that we like to give back is we've started doing a lot of community outreach and education to area businesses. And basically what we do is we go in, we have different talks. We can also make a talk that's catered to a specific office. And we go in, and however many folks they have that are available, we go in and we talk to them for about a half hour or so about whatever subject we've chosen. And then we also bring in one of our massage therapists with us, and then whoever has attended the talk gets, we leave our massage therapist there for about an hour afterwards.
Well, that sounds like a good idea to me. What are some of the key topics you might look at in terms of a business might have interest in talking about?
So I would think our two biggest ones that we end up doing within offices is either our ergonomics, which really focuses on the proper body position for texting, commuting, working from home, and working in an office. And our second one would be stretching at home or work, where we've basically designed a series of stretching for about 5 minutes that can be done in the space of a cubicle.
Wow. So when you're thinking about somebody coming in and really understanding the value of bringing somebody in to talk about it, sometimes companies think, well, you know, this might be something that should we tell our people about? Should this be something that they really should think about? You know, it might be a manufacturing environment, might take people off the floor. How do you sell them on the benefits of talking about this to their organization?
The biggest benefit that they're going to have is they're going to have happier employees, because someone who's taking care of themselves in general is going to be a happier person. They're also going to have decreased work stress, as well as decreased injuries and sick time. So it's really a benefit for the employer, for A, they're giving something back to their employees, which they're going to appreciate. Who doesn't love a free massage? But secondarily to that, they are getting education that's helping them to be a better employee overall.
The problem with the free massage is after that, I'm just going to be a big pile of Jell-O sitting there. That's the only problem for them. So it's going to have to be at the end of the day. All right. When you're talking about looking at stress management, I think that's an area where today you see a lot of professionals, having a lot of stress in their life. How can this type of wellness centered around them sitting correctly, their posture, how does that really handle in the stress area?
Well, I think we've all been in a position where we've had tightness or tension in our neck and shoulders, or you've woken up and your back is hurting. And I think we can all agree that, hands down, you're going to be not working to your maximum amount if you have something that's sore and distracting you. So our goal is really to empower the employees for how they can take care of that and really be proactive. We also, since you mentioned stress, we do have a third talk that focuses specifically on stress and the different types of stress that someone can have, as well as what are some good management techniques about it.
One of the other topics I hear a lot about is diet and food, right? So that's been a topic for a while, but there are so many new things that are happening out there. Do you talk about that area?
We do. Yep, we have one of our other talks is basically debunking common food and diet myths. There's so much information that's thrown at us on a daily basis. Eat carbs, don't eat carbs, eat meat, don't eat meat, eat like a caveman, eat like an Italian person, all of these different things.
Hey, I'm Italian, be nice.
The Mediterranean diet is great with the olive oil. So the key is really sorting out what works for what person, ultimately getting down to moderation, and just looking at the pros and cons of all of the different options that are out there, and understanding why these pros and cons exist for each program so that someone can ultimately make smart food decisions.
We're talking with Dr. Caitlin Morisrow from Absolute Health Chiropractic, and we're talking about a program where they come to your organization. It is free, right? It's complimentary to the business. And talk about outreach of why wellness matters. How often does an organization have to think about wellness in terms of setting up, you know, having you come into the organization and talk about this? Is it usually a series? Is it one time? You know, how often do you do this?
It depends on the office. What I've found is quarterly works great. Sometimes folks like to do semi-annually, and some folks just have us come in once a year to meet their requirements and send us on their merry way. So it really depends on who's there, what their interests are, and how involved they want to be.
Do you find that currently, based upon the clients that you have as well as the organizations you go into, that there's a strong appetite for really learning more about this, especially in the last few years?
I do. I feel like people are really starting to take more control, and they're starting to pay more attention to stretching and working out and what's going to make them feel better. And a lot of times people just recognize, I just don't feel well on a daily basis, and they're not getting the answers that they want from their MDs, so they're starting to figure out, hey, if I exercise, if I stretch, if I eat better, I'll feel better overall.
You know, chiropractic, medical, have now coexisted a lot better in the last few years. Mm-hmm. I can think back when certainly, you know, chiropractic was a little bit not what it is today. Tell me a little bit about where you see the future of how that works today, especially with Obamacare and all the health care proxies that are out there today.
I think one of the interesting things that we're going to start to see is that the allopathic or standard medical model that we're seeing is really going to start to blend with a lot more of the techniques and tactics that chiropractic has been doing for years. We've been seeing for so long the insurance premiums are going up, the coverage is going down, the deductibles are higher, the copays are higher. So people are starting to demand a lot more for their visit and want to get that value for their dollar. Whereas in a chiropractic office, it's a lot more face-to-face. We're seeing our patients more regularly. We're a little bit more involved in their life versus just an annual visit. I think that we're going to see a lot more primary care physicians having to edge over to that. And we're already starting to see some primary care physicians setting up plans where they say, okay, you paid this amount of money per year, and you have access to that physician as much as you need them.
Do you find a lot of physical therapy comes through your office as well?
We do. So physical therapy and chiropractic has a bit of an overlap. We by no means practice, quote-unquote, physical therapy in our office. However, we do what we consider to be called active care, which is really educating our patients on how to foam roll, how to use a strap for stretching, what are the postural corrections that they can be doing. We're very hands-on with our active care, so a lot of times folks will see a similarity to physical therapy.
When you're talking about your practice itself, where are you located?
We're located right downtown in Portland in Monument Square. We're on the first floor. We face the Nickelodeon building.
I know right where you are. No problem at all. So, Caitlin, tell me a little bit about why you have a passion for this.
Well, I think ultimately at the end of the day, we all want to look at living our life for as long as we can and getting the most out of it. A couple years ago, I read a phenomenal book called The Blue Zones. And what it does is it talks about the areas of the world that has the highest concentration of people living to be over 100 years old. And it started to get into what are the commonalities amongst these groups and what are the things that are lacking in a standard American lifestyle. And one of the biggest ones was activity. And when you think about someone who has a desk job or a job where they're not necessarily moving around a lot, they're having up to 8 hours a day of just sitting in one spot. And over time, that creates stress and pressure on certain joints. It creates muscular tightness, areas not moving the way that they should. And by just counteracting that simply throughout the day, we're able to feel better, work better, reach our goals, et cetera. I think the biggest disservice we can do to ourselves is we're not able to do something because we're physically not able to do something. It's fine if it's our choice to say, yeah, you know, I could bungee jump, but I'd rather not. Versus, you know, I'd like to go out and play ball with my kids, but I can't because of XYZ. So I think I've become really passionate about helping folks to understand that they have that power, and ultimately it's a choice for how they want to feel each day.
We're talking with Dr. Caitlin Morrisrow. She's from Absolute Health Chiropractic. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on Newstalk WLOB, and we will be right back. If you're responsible for hiring and firing, you know it can be like a roulette wheel. If your new hire turns out to be a bad hire, well, all you've lost is time and money. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Don't gamble with your hiring. We have a better solution. We've helped hundreds of companies like yours find the right talent, and we guarantee it. Career Management Associates delivers people that fit. Go to cmacareer.com.
Hi, this is Carfax. You already say, show me the Carfax. But now you can say, show me millions of used cars for sale at the all-new Carfax.com, where now you can search with the power of Carfax. Want cars with no accidents reported? You got them. Used cars that are well-maintained? You can find those too. Even one-owner cars are just a click away. Plus, we're the only site where you get a free Carfax report with every car for sale. So, find the cars you want, avoid the ones you don't. Start your used car search at Carfax.com.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at JacksonLewis.com. That's JacksonLewis.com.
Guys, when you buy your clothes at DXL, you look good. But you feel like a rock star. So if you want to look and feel like a... You'll find all the brands you love, waist size 38 and up, all in one awesome store. DXL, you're looking good. Right now, Harbor Bay long sleeve tees are just $29.99 each when you buy two or more.
At highway speeds, the average text takes your eyes off the road for about 5 seconds. That's enough time to travel the length of a football field. Stop texts, stoprex.org.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour, presented by CMAKorea.com. And today we're talking with Dr. Caitlin Morsrow from Absolute Health Chiropractic. Caitlin, how are you doing?
I'm great. How are
you? Good. I appreciate you being on the show today.
Oh, thank you.
You know, we talked about during the first half wellness and why it's important and all the different complementary services that you give to businesses to get them to understand the value and importance of healthcare and the value and importance of wellness. One of the things you do, though, for organizations is pre-employment exams. Explain how and why you do those.
So the reason for pre-employment exams is basically it allows the employer to have a good overview of what the employee or potential employee is coming into the new position with, as well as for the employee, if they were to have an injury on the job, they would know where they started prior to that position so that they would be able to get back to how they were feeling at that point.
What is the benefit to an employer for this?
For an employer, the nice part is we're able to rule out any major issues prior to that person getting into a position where they may have a workers' comp claim. So we're able to kind of hone in and seek out any type of an issue that, depending on what the position is and what the duties of that job are, may actually cause them an issue, and they may not actually be physically okay to work in that position.
A lot of employers do pre-employment physicals, right? They do medical side of this. Do you do that as well, or is this simply on a pre-employment exam from a chiropractic standpoint?
I would say it's more of an exam from a chiropractic standpoint, as opposed to doing any type of blood work, et cetera. But what it does is we get a little bit more into the movement and function of the patient. So we're looking over the sheet in terms of what they're going to be asked to do on a daily basis and for how long they're going to be asked to do those things. And then we're discussing with the patient, we're ruling in or out any major issues that might actually inhibit that employee from being able to do that for their job.
So it could be something that an employer adds, like has both screenings.
Exactly.
Okay. So, you know, I've talked about the employer a little bit. What's the benefit to an employee? I mean, they may be a little nervous about doing something like that.
For an employee, first of all, it shows the employee that the employer really cares about their employee's health. So they're starting off on a right foot with an employer that's showing, hey, I care about you enough and I want to make sure that you're okay to do this job. They are then brought into our office and we take them through basically a head-to-toe, step-by-step process. And at the end, I go over with that potential employee any type of stretches or exercises or recommendations that I would have for them. So a nice benefit to the employee is that they're getting their initial chiropractic visit at no cost to them. But they're also able to kind of ask any questions that they may have health-related, as well as ask any questions about what should they do going forward.
So when an employer does this, and an employee goes through the process, mm-hmm. What does the employer receive? What kind of reporting do they receive? Because obviously medical records or in terms of this exam records are confidential, obviously somebody's personal information. What exactly does the employer see that can give them confidence that they can put in the file or hold on to?
So it depends on the business that we're working with. Before I do any type of pre-employment physical or exam for a business, I would discuss with them what do they want to see, what's important to them. If I take one business in particular, if they send over a potential employee, they set up the appointment, we know when the employee is going to be here, and they've sent me over a sheet that tells me exactly what the employee needs to be able to do and for how long. I then review all of that. I write back to the business with any type of concerns that I may have or any type of restrictions or any type of something that came up in the past health history that might be just a, hey, just a heads up on this. However, I did review X, Y, and Z or stretches with them or recommendations, et cetera.
We're talking with Dr. Caitlin Morrisrow from Absolute Health Chiropractic. You know, one of the things that employers are always concerned about is somebody who's doing a job that's continually doing the same job, right, over and over and over, repetitive motion. Can you tell me, in your practice, have you seen a lot of these issues? Are there ways for employers and HR professionals to deal with this issue in a better way at the workplace?
Definitely. What I find is probably the biggest bonus that they can give their employees is really looking at their ergonomic setup. Something as simple as raising the monitor height can decrease stress and tension on the neck by quite a bit. Something as easy as taking the arms off of their chair or giving them a footstool is going to go really a long way in terms of how that employee feels while working at their desk. I do often see folks come in with a lot of tightness and tension, as severe as numbness down their arm, because they're holding that tightness and tension in their neck. And some of these things can mimic other issues. If someone thinks they have numbness down their arm, they might think they actually have a herniated disc or carpal tunnel syndrome or something like that, when a lot of times it's really a postural component that could have been taken care of with simple ergonomic adjustments.
So when you go to an organization, you provide them with the complimentary overview. How long does that usually take?
Typically, it's done over the phone. I usually talk with whoever the HR person is or whoever's setting up these pre-employment exams, and then I just discuss with them what their goals are, what they're looking to get out of it, how it would work, and kind of give them any information that they would need. It takes about 15 minutes or so. We're really just kind of setting up expectations on both sides.
No, that's great. And so when you actually go to the physical plant to do the talk to the employees, and which, of course, comes with the chair massage, which is the part that has me interested. How long does that process take? Do you talk to the organization about setting up ergonomics at that point? A lot of the workers' comp organizations talk a lot about this in terms of ergonomics. How involved do you get with that, with each individual setup at their desk and so forth?
So I'm not a certified ergonomics person, so I highly recommend that if a business is looking to do this for all of their employees, that they get someone that's certified to do this. What I do during an ergonomics talk is basically just kind of give an overview and tips and what to look for, so that someone can really realize, hey, my setup's really out of whack, or my setup needs, you know, some changes. And so that talk on the ergonomics it's about a half hour long, and then we have chair massage for an hour afterwards.
Gotcha. So when an employer thinks about, hey, I want to do pre-employment screening, switching back to that for just a second, tell me a little bit about what it might cost the employer, again, what they might see from it at that point. How would you go through that process?
Sure. So the cost to the employer is about $100. And what would happen is they would either set up the time, or they would have the potential employee set up the time. The visit is about an hour. So the potential employee would fill out all of our normal paperwork that we do, full complete health history. They come in, we do a nerve scan, which allows us to look at what the nervous system is doing, and then we do a muscle tightness scan, which is going to show us areas where they're holding tightness, whether it's in the neck, low back, mid back, et cetera. Then we do a complete chiropractic exam. So I'm examining all of their cranial nerves, rather, their range of motion, sensation, reflexes, muscle strength, basically just ruling out any major issues that could arise and give them problems in their new position. I do a whole bunch of orthopedic tests if I see anything that could be an issue, and then I go basically through a discussion of what they need to be able to do for the position, as well as test them on that, and then give them any stretches or recommendations for any minor issues that I find. And then I follow up with the business, give them whatever information we've predetermined that they would like, and then the employees full information and record is kept on file here.
No, that's fantastic. You know, wellness has become such an important part of day-to-day operations at an organization. And I think you provide a unique niche in terms of maybe something that HR professionals hadn't thought about that really can be added to their health screening process. And so I'm really impressed that you've come up with this type of technique. I think that it's something that businesses should really consider looking at it. We're talking with Dr. Caitlin Mosrow from Absolute Health Chiropractic. Certainly, they can reach you at absolutehealthchiropractic.org, but really, you can go to hrpowerhour.com after the show, and we're going to have that link right up there for you so you can click right through. Caitlin, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you. This was great.
You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB, and we will be right back. Running a company can feel like you're surrounded. A key person quits. A big project presents itself. You need good people fast. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Our contract staffing service will fill a position or find the right talent for a short-term project. Hundreds of companies choose us because we deliver people that fit. Career Management Associates, your contract staffing solution. Go to cmacareer.com.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
Because you've booked with Booking.com, you, freedom lover, are on the road and carefree. You're not worried that dealership billboards spoil beautiful views or that the fresh, cool breeze gives you a mouthful of fumes. No, because you know in just a few more miles, you'll be free to rock around in the perfect Booking hotel, treehouse, or rustic cottage of your dreams. Thanks to Planet Earth's number one accommodation site, Booking.com. Booking.yeah!
And you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com. We are today talking with Tom Kelly. He's the CEO of HealthSmart, which is a self-insured benefits administrator. Tom, welcome to the show.
Well, glad to be here.
Thank you. So, you know, healthcare is probably one of the biggest changing areas in the country today. Tell me a little about what you're seeing in the last 4 to 6 months that really has you talking about why innovation is so important in today's healthcare market.
Sure. I'd say I think we all think of the healthcare market as a place that's pretty much an incessant innovator around kind of the technology and the science of healthcare, and that's really correct. I'd probably spend more of my time, though, on how do we actually innovate around simplifying the administrative processes of healthcare, making it more consumer-friendly, really connecting the consumer to a buying experience that's really quite different from what the health system has permitted historically. Our hope, of course, is to go from a really confusing, often painful, almost always expensive system to something better than that.
So when you're looking at saying, hey, there's got to be change made here in the healthcare, do you see an openness to it? Is it something that you're seeing resistance to? Or we'll get into the, you know, the details in a minute, but how open are healthcare systems? How open are insurers? How open are people to the change?
So I think that's probably a two-part answer. I'd say the kind of the dominant players in the healthcare system, the very big health systems and the big carriers, of course, really don't like change at all. And even incremental change is managed carefully, so they can talk about it before they do it and do it without it costing them any significant amount of money. So I'd say what you have is more the appearance of change than real change. And I'd say generally on the institutional side, both carriers and health systems, real reluctance to change and a real fear that it will undermine their value proposition or at least revenue stream. On the other side, on the consumer side, tremendous appetite for change. And that is they want to know prices, they want to be able to shop, they don't want to discover physicians who are not contracted with their plan after the fact. They don't want to see complicated bills, and they want they actually want to have the same kind of retail simplicity and immediacy they experience in the rest of the consumer world.
So you have an article published in Executive Insights magazine basically pleading with the healthcare outlets to start making the bills clearer and readable.
Yeah.
Talk to me about that article, why you published it, what was the impetus for it, why you're out there talking about it today.
Yeah. Well, I think all of us believe we need real competition in healthcare. And competition really doesn't exist or prosper in the absence of price transparency. Ultimately, the buyer has to be able to understand what the prices are and to be able to compare them from one provider to the next. Really, neither is possible in today's world. Insurance companies, the carriers have basically intervened saying, we'll worry about prices. To some extent, they do that job, but they've actually made pricing just as impossible to understand to their members as the providers did originally. So, for example, you can have your knee replaced and get a bill from a hospital that's three pages long, not any one of which actually says one left knee replacement. My guess is we ought to have bills that say exactly that, one left knee replacement, and one bill, not three or four or six bills, which is kind of typical in inpatient hospitals today, or three or four bills, which would be typical in an outpatient surgical facility. And the patient ought to know what that price is going to be before somebody sticks anesthesia in their arm. And wheels them into the operating room. But almost always that's not the case today.
So as employers and employees clamor for more transparency, more information, simplification, an option that they're turning to, and we're hearing this from obviously Texas, where you are, up to Maine, is self-insurance. So tell me a little bit about how that plays into this factor and the pros and cons to it, really, across the board.
Yeah. So you'd say first, self-insurers, so companies that are paying the bills and want to understand the bills, always are on the vanguard of these efforts. They want to understand how they could buy better and more effectively. For almost all of them, healthcare expense, the premiums they're paying for their healthcare, for their employees, are their single biggest, least controllable operating problem. So one of the things that gets forgotten in all this is you have employers really struggling with the ability to afford healthcare premiums, and with many of them passing along some significant part of that pain to their employees who now find themselves with higher deductibles and copays and more at risk for the total cost of care. So it's for those people that you really have to ultimately design the transparency system. Give you a simple example. Here in Dallas, for a chest x-ray, we would end up paying anywhere between $45 and $2,000 for a chest x-ray.
It's huge. That's a huge swing.
Yeah. And for somebody early in the year, could end up paying the whole $2,000 out of pocket.
That's true, because the deductibles continue to go up. I mean, I think that we have seen everything from, especially if you're talking small business deductibles, small business has really been bearing the brunt of this in terms of the amount that they're having to cough up in terms of larger deductibles. You know, what used to be two is now three, is now 5,000, and we've even seen some at $10,000 deductibles.
Sure. Yeah.
What do you see?
So
go ahead. I'm sorry. Continue.
So first you want to put put a tool in people's hands that educate them about the range of prices in a marketplace. We do that. So we have a partnership with a place called Healthcare Blue Book. They really do a pretty terrific job of looking at the most common procedures that you can shop for, because there's a lot of stuff that comes as a result of emergency care that you never really have a chance to shop for. But for most of what healthy people consume, they have the opportunity to shop. And you should be able to see what the low price is in the community and the high price. You should be able to look at a list of those lower-priced providers, and you should probably get some help from your plan to figure out how to get there.
Well, that would seem like common sense, wouldn't it?
It does to me.
Well, I'd like to say common sense is common, but I say it all the time that common sense sometimes is uncommon. In terms, and I think if you're thinking about it in healthcare, that's probably very true.
Yeah. Yeah. And what's interesting is maybe for the lower cost providers, you could actually call them advance today and get a price, or at least a price estimate. The more expensive the procedure becomes, the less likely it's going to be you get any price estimate before you actually show up for the service.
So when an employer is now looking to think about ways to really save and get costs, tell me how HealthSmart can be a player and a partner in this.
Yeah, so we have to, there's many different ways that either a carrier or an administrator like us assist the self-insured employer. So kind of the simple list is you first try and get competitive unit prices in a market. Secondarily, try and do care management around those members that have high costs and high medical needs and really struggle to find their way around the system. And then I'd say ultimately you try and help people to shop effectively. So one, to understand that shopping is possible in healthcare; two, to put the tools in their hands; three, to make the investment, particularly early on, to help teach them how to use those tools. And then ultimately to move the utilization of healthcare services to the low-cost site of service. There's been really virtually no emphasis on finding a low-cost site of service historically in the health insurance realm. Our guess is that you could reduce an average employer's cost somewhere between high single digits and high teens just by moving people to low-cost sites of care.
Is there a difference between looking at self-insured when you're dealing with size of organizations? Today, one of the things that I've heard is that it's a little challenging to get some of the smaller companies to be self-insured just because of the sheer number of people that need to be involved in it. Are there ways for people to group together? Are there state restrictions? Are there federal restrictions? Are there a way to make this a little more manageable from an overall cost and structure perspective?
Yeah, I'd say first, probably the most important point is really almost no matter what size you are as an employer, you're buying at probably comparable unit prices for physician and hospital services to what the very largest corporations buy at. So for most folks, 90% of their costs is determined in a contractual process controlled by the carriers that really offers the same unit price regardless of the size of the employer for all those services. Really what's difficult for a small employer is the potential volatility in the cost. For a big employer to have, a big employer is much more likely to have an averageable number of cardiothoracic surgery, premature baby, other kinds of expensive cases in a year, and they actually have an insurance pool that says from year to year the costs are going to be not so volatile. But for an individual employer, for an employer of 50 or 100 people, one really expensive case in a year can make it an unbelievably bad year. Now we use reinsurance to temper that. But your ability to use reinsurance is also impacted by small risk pool risks, right, which a 50 or 100 employee company has a very small pool of costs, and as a result, the cost of insurance, whether you insure at the individual company level or you reinsure, is going to be tougher to manage than it would be for a very large employer. But that's where the big, there's some distribution cost differentials. You know, the administrative costs for a smaller employer are going to be a little bit higher, but not tremendously so. The more difficult part of it is how do you actually manage the volatility and limit its impact year to year on the employer.
So just to get clarity on one part of my question, can associations or groups of companies band together to create healthcare groups when they're smaller, let's say 25 to 50 employees? Are there association-type things that are allowed interstate or across state lines?
Well, the self-insurance is basically regulated at the federal level. So if you could do a self-insured plan, you could do it across states. Insurance is a little bit more difficult because health insurance is actually regulated at the state level. So putting together an association plan that would reach across multiple states would actually have to be different plans that comply with the state rules in each of those places. Those rules are less different today than they were before the Affordable Care Act, but still a little bit different. You also have relatively strict rules about whether the risk can actually be pooled or it has to stay at the individual employee level. So, for example, it's not unusual for a Chamber of Commerce to have an association plan, but it's merely a sponsor of that plan. It's not effectively pooling the risk for it. There are private employee organizations out there that actually can effectively group employees into a larger entity for purposes of benefits. Fairly strict set of rules around doing that. And it effectively moves the employee from being a direct employee of an individual employer to being part of a pooled set of employees whose full-time job is actually assigned to an employer.
So that's like a PEO-type system.
Yeah.
And that certainly, we have seen some employers really starting to look at things like that to control costs.
Yes, I think it's a valuable thing to do. It has operational impacts that can be hard to manage, but it's certainly a tactic to end up with a larger insurance pool and probably some more administrative muscle to be able to manage the benefits themselves.
We're talking with Tom Kelly. He's the CEO of Texas-based HealthSmart. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB, and we will be right back. If you're responsible for hiring and firing, you know it can be like a roulette wheel. If your new hire turns out to be a bad hire, well, all you've lost is time and money. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Don't gamble with your hiring. We have a better solution. We've helped hundreds of companies like yours find the right talent, and we guarantee it. Career Management Associates delivers people that fit. Go to cmacareer.com.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
You make the decision to buy the home, then you're faced with what's next? What do we do?
We started at Realtor.com.
Realtor.com gave us a lot more current information.
Listings are pulled directly from the MLS every 15 minutes.
Once you've gone through all of that, the Realtor makes it happen.
We worked with the Realtor that really knew the area.
And he knew the market.
When you have someone who has the expertise, it makes it so much easier.
Realtor.com and Realtors. Together, we make home happen. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com. And today we're talking with Tom Kelly, CEO of Texas-based HealthSmart. HealthSmart is a self-insured benefits administrator. Tom, thanks for being on the show today.
Glad to be here.
Tom's a thought leader, and he's written a lot of articles having to do with bucking the healthcare system the way it is today, and really talking about streamlining and processing that really saves on costs, saves on healthcare costs, and really are things that organizations and companies should think about when they're looking to really manage their healthcare processes. Tom, you wrote an article having to do with bundling pricing. This was an executive insight. Tell me a little bit about bundled pricing so that the audience can understand what that means.
Sure. Bundled pricing is a single bill for a service, even if that service is a relatively complex one. And even if it involves multiple physicians and other providers that might otherwise bill separately. Easiest example, if you go into the hospital today, you're going to receive a bill from the hospital. You may receive a separate bill from the emergency room physicians, from the intensivists and the hospitalists, from the surgeons or medical doctors who see you in the hospital, from radiologists, from laboratory physicians, and so you can find the experience quite distressing, definitely confusing, and by the time you add it all up, very expensive. What's even tougher is, even if your surgeon or medical doctor, primary medical doctor, is in network, that means has a contract with your carrier, it may be that several of those physicians don't. And they send you a bill that will surprise you both by its amount and by what it's going to cost you.
Well, and surprises are bad when it comes to health care costs, right? I mean, I like surprises, but that's not a good surprise.
There are a few good surprises in health care. So.
No, you're absolutely right. What do you think is the reason, other than I know you've stated a little bit about the resistance from the systems themselves, what do you think of the reason that it's taking a while for this to really catch hold?
I'd say that it's easy to understand. If Walmart could have as much customer traffic as it wanted without ever posting the prices, it would, right? Because it could then try and determine how price flexible or inflexible, how affordable it was. At the time of checkout, or maybe even later than that, because that's how the healthcare system works. You certainly don't have competition without prices being posted in advance and being simple enough for a consumer to understand.
Well, and I think that really is, when you think about it, the bottom line, isn't it, that we really want consumers to feel confident in what they're getting for health care and to be able to really understand. I know that certainly whenever you and I have certainly gone for procedures or so forth, sometimes I get three bills for the same thing, one from the doctor, one from the testing lab, one from the facility. And it is extremely confusing at times, and sometimes you get a surprise. Look, another bill has arrived. What is that all about? So I certainly understand the value and understand why this would be the case of what somebody would really like to do within the process. How are you going out there and really promoting this and trying to talk about this with organizations and others?
Yeah, so we do have leadership organizations out there that are doing this. So I'd invite everybody to go look at the Surgery Center of Oklahoma site. They're one of our partners in bundle pricing. They've been out there in the market for several years. And on their website, they have posted all-inclusive prices for 490 different surgical procedures. They have people coming from all over the United States and Canada because, one, the prices are transparent, knowable in advance, and secondarily, because they're very competitive with the best available prices in markets all across this country.
Well, I'm sure that took some real effort to do, because I do know that sometimes facilities don't necessarily really know what things cost, or at least don't perceive that they do.
Facilities have allowed themselves to get so caught up in charges, which have only a vague relationship and certainly not a consistent relationship with costs, that they've done really not a very good job at, one, standardizing their procedures and processes, understanding their costs, and building basically a cost proposition that a consumer can examine. So it's we need to announce, and we're not the only ones interested in this. If you watch, Medicare is moving towards bundled prices for the very same reason. They want simplicity and standardization. They want standard approaches and methods that are evidence-based, and one of the surest ways to go there is to bundle prices and cause people to manage their costs within the pricing algorithm.
You did another video for American Airlines talking about this issue. Can you describe that video? We're certainly going to make sure that, you know, after the show on HRPowerHour.com, we'll provide them the information to your website so they can see all this information.
Sure.
But certainly talk a little bit about the video.
Yeah, so I can tell you the genesis of the video was roughly, I don't know if you remember the movie Network, and star standing in the window going, "I'm mad as hell, I'm not going to take it anymore."
Of course, I remember that, yeah.
Yeah, so the general, Peter Finch was wonderful in that, and unfortunately I can't appear nearly as attractive as he did in that video. But I think consumers and employers are very upset about how the healthcare system works and believe nobody's been paying attention. Employers are struggling every year with the costs. They're still getting a message that the costs are going to go up every year no matter what. They're not getting answers to why is this the case, and it's not primarily technology. And members are going, "I still find this the most confusing and increasingly the only really confusing relationship I have with the retail environment."
No, that's very true.
People have moved to buying, ordering things by smartphone, scheduling events by smartphone. Justifiably, they're going, "Why can't I do my everyday healthcare things the same way?"
Well, Tom, I appreciate you very much being on the show today. Again, Tom Kelly, he is the CEO of HealthSmart. HealthSmart is a self-insured benefits administrator. You've done a great job of explaining some of the challenges out there in healthcare today and some of the options that people provide. Again, we're going to be providing your website right on our HR Power Hour show. We're going to be also providing your email link. I want to thank you so much for being on the show today.
Delighted to join you.
And now your HR tip of the week. 10 reasons why your best employees quit. This is through TrendHR.com. An organization's employee turnover is a reflection of the number of employees that leave the company during a certain period of time. If the turnover rate for your company is consistently on the rise, you need to take a step back and decipher the reason for your employees' departure. Here could be 10 reasons why. 1. Are you providing them only subpar work? Do you have inefficient management? A lack of proper training? An absence of career growth opportunities? Incompetent managers? No accountability, excessive workflow, unhelpful feedback, inadequate compensation, or even a bad work culture. Those are 10 things you need to think about if, in fact, you are having a lot of employees quit. That's your HR Tip of the Week. Thank you for listening, and catch us every week at 10 a.m. on News Talk WLOB 1310 a.m. or streaming live on WLOBradio.com. Podcasts of this show and every show are available at HRPowerHour.com. Have a great week, everyone, and remember, HR management is critical to your business's success.